Hello, everyone. We are continuing on with Thomas Manton in Exposition with Notes upon the Epistle of Jude. Last time we did verse 14, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. And verse 15, to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly amongst them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. And Lord willing, we're going to continue on here in Jude and with the next verse, verse 16. And I'll go ahead and start that. Verse 16, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Now, Thomas Manton begins here. Here the apostle comes to make application and to prove that these were such as Enoch had described and therefore liable to the judgment threatened. Here are several things charged. I shall take them in order. The first thing is their unsatisfiedness with their present condition expressed in two words, murmurers and complainers. The first word signifies such a muttering as men use when they are under a passion and discontent. The other word signifies blamers of their lot and portion, namely of that portion which is set out for them by God. The one implies their discontented thoughts, the other their querulous expressions. Note hence, or from that observation number one, that murmuring is a great sin. It is so charged here upon the seducers, these seducers Jude is talking to or about. I shall first show what murmuring is, and secondly, prove that it is a great sin. First, what it is. One says, well, and he says it's Dr. Sibbes, it must needs be known because it is so commonly practiced. But if you will have me describe it, I shall say it is the scum of discontent or the vent of impatience, or such bold expostulations and complaints as flow from an exulcerated mind. In the text, you see first men mutter and then complain, the heart boils with impatience, and then the froth is cast out in passionate speeches and complaints. Humble complaints are not murmuring, else there would be no room for prayer, but bold expostulations are murmurings when we complain rather of God than to God, taxing the administration of his providence as if he dealt too hardly with us, or dealt in too harsh a way with us, so that in effect murmuring is an anti-providence, first cherished by repining thoughts, and then vented and uttered in bold and uncomely speeches. Thoughts are audible with God, but it is worse when thoughts are not controlled, but break out openly in words, tending to God's dishonor. If the fire be kindled in our bosoms, it is some kind of victory if we smother it and will not let the sparks fly abroad. There are several kinds of murmuring, either against men or against God, though in the issue all be against God about men. Number one, against men, and so either against our equals or superiors. Number one, equals, when we murmur because they are admitted to the same privileges with ourselves. See Matthew 20, verse 11. They murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last wrought but 1 hour. So Luke 15, verse 30, This thy son devoured thy living with harlots, etc. And Beza of some that reproached him with the sins of his unregenerate condition, Surely these men are angry because God has showed me mercy. There is an envious nature in man. We would all shine alone and enclose the common salvation, I guess away from others. To upbraid men with late conversion is all one as to make it a crime because they are born but yesterday. It is to take up that filth which God would have covered. Number two, murmuring against superiors, especially because invested with magistracy or ministry. Some men are of a yokeless libertine spirit, will acknowledge no other law but their own lusts. And usually in Puritan writings and even in the Bible, it's often lusts are often corrupt desires of the heart in more general terms, not just a sexual thing. So some men are of a yokeless libertine spirit, will acknowledge no other law but their own lusts or corrupt desires, as in the text, murmurers walking after their own lusts. They think magistracy to be an encroachment upon their freedom, and therefore cannot away with any established order. And as for ministry, that all the Lord's people are holy, Numbers 16, verse 3, what need any to be set apart for that work? Thus would they level all things in church and commonwealth, as those rebels rose up against Moses and Aaron. But though not against the office, we may murmur at the persons that are advanced, as if we would teach God how to govern the world, and whom to lift up or cast down, or else by finding fault with their government without a cause. Some presumptuous persons that never learned obedience are always unsatisfied. Many such ungoverned spirits there are that are always traducing public government, especially when it is most faithfully managed, and to the discouragement of opinionists and evildoers. God will not suffer this evil or allow this evil to go unpunished, Exodus 16 verse 8 and 2 Samuel 18 verse 7. The calling is his ordinance, the persons are designed by his providence, and the work concerns his glory. And therefore, God takes himself to be much interested in the quarrel if we murmur. Number two, there is a murmuring which is immediately or directly against God himself. Since the fall, man is always quarreling with his maker, either against his decrees or his laws or his providence. Providence being how things happen in their lives. Number one, against his decrees. Proud man cannot endure to hear of God's absolute sovereignty. We will do what we will, but we will not give leave to God to do what he will. The good man of the house was fain to plead his right, Matthew 20, verse 15, shall I not do with my own, etc. We can see no reason why God should pass by one and choose another. Though we can see no reason, it is enough, it is God's pleasure, Matthew 11, verse 26. God has his arcana imperii as well as earthly princes, and we have cause to admire what we cannot understand. Things may be just, though his reasons appear not to us. God is not bound to give us an account or to tell us all his secrets. Human reason grows giddy by prying into the depth of God's decrees. It is good to change disputes into wonder and reverence. Romans 9, verse 20, who art thou, O man, that disputest with God? We may chop logic one with another, the potsherds of the earth with the potsherds of the earth, but God's prerogative is above the tribunal of our reason. So that was one against his decrees. Number two, against his laws. A proud creature cannot endure to hear of restraints. We could love other things in God, but not his legislative power. Romans 8, verse 7, the carnal mind will never stoop, but complains of him as harsh and severe, as if he had forbidden us the satisfying of those desires which he has planted in us. The Israelites murmured thus, the land was a good land, but there were giants and sons of Anak. Numbers 13, verse 32. The heaven promised is a good heaven, but the way is rough and impassable. Duties are difficult, and it is cumbersome to thwart our lusts, again, corrupt desires of our hearts. The project of carnal nature is to find out an easy and smooth path to eternal happiness. See Psalm 106, 24 and 25. They despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word, but murmured in their tents. Heaven, figured by the land of Canaan, is not counted worth the pains and difficulty of getting thither or getting there. And number three, murmur against his providence. In general, when the wicked prosper, it is a temptation that has shaken the tallest cedars in Lebanon. David, though afterwards he was ashamed of it and counts it brutish ignorance, Psalm 73:22, And so Jeremiah 12, 1 to 3 and Habakkuk 1. So you're murmuring of God's providence with the, how he deals with other people besides yourself. But let us come to temptations that are of a more particular and private experience. We murmur either for what we want, I believe that means lack, or for what we have lost, or for what we affect. First, for what we want or lack, as soon as we are straightened or like a straitjacket, we complain presently. This is not so bad as when we murmur out of wantonness. The Israelites, I observe, did fall a murmuring either out of want or lack, and then they were spared. As for want of waters or lack of waters, Exodus 15:24, for want or lack of meat, Exodus 16:2, for lack of bread, Numbers 20, verse 3. But at other times, they murmured out of wantonness. They loathed manna, must have quails. But then some special judgment or other broke out upon them. But however, it is bad enough when our necessities extort these complaints from us. Want is a time of praying, not of murmuring. The throne of grace was erected for a time of need, Hebrews 4:16. But it is man's usual custom to change duties into sins, as admonition into censuring. Instead of speaking to men, we speak of men. So instead of complaining to God, we complain of God, and so make murmuring take the room of prayer. We murmur instead of pray. Necessity is a time to put the promises in suit, to try faith, to awaken affections, not to provoke murmurings. I was dumb and opened not my mouth, said David in Psalm 39, verse 9. We may open our mouths in confessions of sin, humble narratives, pleading of promises, but not in self-justifications, stormings against providence, or words of unbelief and impatience. So we must be dumb, as in not speaking, and not once open our mouths. So secondly, we murmur for what we have lost. We complain when God takes away such a child or such a comfort or blasts such a confidence of ours as our affections were much set upon, and in bitterness of heart speak unworthily of God and his dispensations. See 2 Samuel 18, verse 33. We hate going back a degree or two and count it miserable to be once happy, etc. But, O Christians, remember, when anything is lost, it is a wonder all is not gone. Job lost all, and yet blessed God. Job 1:23. He took, but he gave first. That we were once happy showed we have not always been miserable. Our pilgrimage might have been wholly or fully evil and uncomfortable. Shall we receive good and not evil at the hands of the Lord? Job 2, verse 10. There is much gone, but somewhat left. That little that is left is more than we have deserved. Many in the world would be glad of our relics or what we had left. Has he taken aught or anything from us? He might have taken more. He takes part that gives all. All is his own. He reserved the property to himself. As much right as we had to our comforts was long since forfeited. If God has lent us blessings and demand them again back to himself, shall we grudge them to the right owner, which is God? It is needful now and then that God should take our comforts from us. When we have gotten a carnal pillow under our heads, we are apt to fall into a deep sleep and dream many a fond dream till God take it from under us. He withdraws comforts to see how we will take it and bear up upon our great and everlasting hopes. Hebrews 10:34, ye took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, etc. You will say that was but martyrdom, but you're lost by an ordinary providence. And will not you let God take as willingly as thieves and persecutors? You have the same encouragements, a better and enduring substance. And thirdly, for what we affect, we are wont or often to murmur at the smallness of our portion. We have not so much as others, our condition in the world is not so great, so rich, so honorable as theirs. We have but a single, and they have a double, as Benjamin's portion. Oh, but consider this is mere murmuring. God never undertook to maintain all his children at the same rate, and we cannot expect so much. Variety of conditions is necessary for the preservation of the world. Leveling is not God's dispensation. Some must be high and some low. The wise preserver of all things distributes his gifts variously, wealth to one, skill to another, strength to a third. One must reign, R-E-I-G-N, like a king, another serve, and all for the common good. A piece of arras is composed of several parcels. We should all famish for company if all were of one sort. Who should endure the handy labors? How low soever you are there where God has set you, and there you must tarry till the fair invitation of providence call you higher. Look backward, you have made some increase. Jacob took notice that he was become two droves, Genesis 32, verse 10. Though when he had first come into the country, he had nothing but his staff in his hand. Many of God's children are not so high as you are. If you murmur, what should others do that have less? We cast our eyes forward on those before us, and because we have not so much as they, so good trading, houses so well furnished, such honor and esteem in the world, all is as nothing. You do not look about you to the thousands that come short of you. You say, why should not we thrive as they, be preferred as they? Joseph knew why Benjamin had a larger mess, though the rest at the table did not. So does the Lord know why he gives to one and not to another. Now, secondly, let me show you the heinousness of the sin by, number one, the causes of it. Number two, by the injustice of it. Number one, the causes of murmuring are many, but all not or all are nothing as, number one, pride and self-love. When men are conceited of themselves, they storm that others are preferred before them. A proud man must needs be discontented because he sets a high price upon himself, and when others will not come up to his price, he is troubled. You will find such a proud thought rising in your heart that men of your worth are not taken notice of, and yet they that deserve least complain and murmur most. The best say, I am not worthy. Real worth is humble. The laden boughs hang their heads. The nettle mounts when the violet lies shrouded under its leaves and is only found out by its own scent. All God's blessings are low to him that is high in his own eyes. Number two, impatience. We cannot endure the least inconvenience. Touchy natures would be at ease, tumbling and wallowing in all kinds of pleasure. Therefore, as soon as we are touched in our skins, we fall a-murmuring, why is this evil befallen me? And why should I wait upon the Lord any longer? Any unsubjection of will to God will inevitably put us upon repining. Number three, presumption of merit. Where all is of a free cost, there is no complaining. Men ascribe to themselves when they prescribe to God what he shall do for them or how to bless them. Everything is welcome where nothing is deserved. If you keep a man of alms, you take it ill that he should not be pleased with his diet. When we look to desert or what we deserve, we may wonder more at what we have than what we want or lack. God would do us no wrong if we were reduced to a less pittance. If in a prison, it is a favor we are not in hell. A malefactor would be glad to commute his punishment, a greater for a less, death for exile, exile for loss of estate, and then the whole for a part. Can a firebrand of hell murmur? This is our desert, what we deserve, but we think God is bound, and that it is a wrong that he takes no more notice of us. Wherefore have we fasted, etc., Isaiah 55, 58. or why have we fasted? It's been of no purpose. I am not as other men, etc. Luke 18. Number four, carnal affection. We are too ravenous and greedy upon outward things, and therefore the disappointment breeds the more vexation. Our desires and hopes of more destroy the memory and consideration of what we have. God gives sufficiently to satisfy our necessities, and we seek to supply our lusts, or corrupt desires of our hearts. Lust is more given to murmuring than necessity, this improper desire. Nature is contented with a little, it is soon satisfied, but lust enlarges the desire as hell. Number five, unbelief and distrust. Psalm 106, 24 and 25, they believed not his word, but murmured in their tents. Men quarrel with God's providence because they do not believe his promises. Distrust will be sure to breed discontent. It is ill for the present, and they cannot see how it will be better. They could not believe that the wilderness was the way to Canaan, that God can love one whom he corrects, and therefore, as soon as they feel the smart of the rod of correction, they give vent to their passions. That was the end of point one, the causes of murmuring. Number two, the injustice of it. It is injurious to God, to others, and to ourselves. Number one, it is injurious to God. Murmuring is a sin that pulls God out of the throne. You enter into judgment with him. As David, on the other hand, prays, "Enter not into judgment with thy servant, O Lord." Murmurers either deny his providence or tax it. Implicitly, they deny it, as if God did not set out to every man his portion. If men did believe that God did govern the world, even as he made the world, why do they not complain of creation as well as providence? We would laugh at him that would murmur because God did not make him an angel or a star. Why? Is it not as ridiculous to murmur because God has made you a subject and not a prince, a beggar and not a rich man, a servant but not a master, but that they own the hand of God in one and not in the other, as if the world were governed by blind chance? Or else they tax providence of indiscretion or unrighteousness. It is marvelous to see how murmuring robs God of all his attributes. It clips his sovereignty. We will not let him do with his own as it pleases him. The great contest between him and us is, whose will shall stand, his or ours? It limits his power and slights it. When God does not satisfy us, we think he cannot. Psalm 78, verse 20. We set him a task, and if God perform it not, we question his sufficiency. It is a contention with our Maker, as entering into the lists with God, as if we could make our party good against him. Psalm 78, verse 17. We tax his wisdom. Men will be teaching God how to govern the world, for we prescribe to him as if he did not understand what is fit for us. He pleases us not in his wisest dispensations, and we bear it out as if we could mend his works. Job 21, verse 22, shall any teach God knowledge, seeing he judgeth those that are high? They that disallow of God's proceedings take upon them to be God's teachers. It was a blasphemous speech of Alphonsus. If he had been of God's counsel when he made the world, he would have ordered many things better. Many abhor the blasphemy and yet think almost to the same effect. If they had the governing of the world, such men should not prosper, and such things should not be done. Thus do we darken counsel with words without knowledge. Job 38, verse 2, and cast a reproach of folly and injustice upon God's providence. Again, to his goodness we are injurious by disvaluing what we have in comparison of what we expect. Malachi 1, verse 2, Wherein hast thou loved us? As if they had nothing, but not fully what they expected. It is man's nature to forget what is granted and pitch only upon what is denied, as children in a pet throw away what they have if you do not give them more. Says Haman, all this availeth me nothing, etc. Esther 5:13. And the whole kingdom of Israel would not content Ahab when he falls sick for Naboth's vineyard, 1 Kings 21, verse 4. As in the body, if one humor be out of order or one joint broken, the soundness of all the rest avails us nothing. A little is enough to set the creature a-complaining. His justice we also tax, as if he did defraud us of our due. We think somewhat is due, or else why do we complain? Matthew 20, verse 13, friend, I do thee no wrong, etc. That was point one. It's injurious to God, injurious to God. Number two, it is injurious to others. It puts us upon acts of violence and sedition. The murmurers are called rebels, Numbers 17, verse 10. Schism in the church and sedition in the commonwealth are but the fruits of murmuring. Men dislike their own rank and station, and then murmur, and then perturb all. Oh, that I were a judge, said Absalom, and afterwards breaks out into open rebellion. Thin exhalations end in great storms. Servants would be masters, and the poor would be rich, and subjects would be in office and power, and by giving vent to their repining thoughts, inflame the zeal of persons like-minded with themselves, till all be embroiled in blood and confusions. And number three, it is injurious to ourselves. Man is a foolish creature. What does he get by complaining of God? Who shall right us? Before what tribunal will you put him in suit? So in other words, before what judge are you going to sue God? In what court? Of all sins, murmuring is most unreasonable, but very pernicious. What do we get by it but disquiet and judgment? It is like spitting against the wind. The drivel is returned upon our own heads. Disquiet breeds disquiet in us. A murmuring spirit is a greater evil than any affliction. Like a sour vessel, it turns all things that are put into it into sourness. Most men's misery arises from their discontent. If their heart and their condition were suited, they would do well enough in the world. We trouble our own peace. If we could learn to frame our minds to our estates, as the skillful musician lets down the strings a peg lower when the tune requires it, we should pass to heaven more comfortably. Again, it brings down judgment. Expressions tending to God's dishonor have a loud cry in his ears. Miriam was smitten with leprosy for murmuring, and Dathan and Abiram swallowed up alive. Fiery serpents and plagues and exclusion out of Canaan were Israel's judgments when they were sick of the fret. See 1 Corinthians 10, verse 10. Neither murmur ye, as some of them murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. All right, that's the end of that being a sin. I'm going to go ahead and stop there. The next section is the application of this. So I'd encourage you to continue on. But because of length of that section, I'm going to stop for this reading. And Lord willing, we will go on next time. But until then, go in an absolute trust of God and his providence. And may we never murmur ever and be thankful for what we have, and thankful for his mercies, given what we actually deserve, and that he hasn't brought those upon us. And Lord willing, we'll talk to you again soon.